4 p.m. on Monday, September 9th, 2024. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Redistricting Advisory Committee. We do have a few housekeeping items before we begin. First, I'd like to point out that we have Suzanne Message in attendance. She is our city clerk. She was unable to join us last time, but is here today and would like to offer a few words. So second, we've printed copies of the material that we've emailed to you since the last meeting. We'll continue to do that for each of you for future meetings, unless you specifically opt out. So please let us know if at any time you don't need the hard copies. Third, we've received a request that call to the audience be moved up on the agenda so the committee can consider public comments prior to discussing items 4 or 5. Taking items out of order is up to the chair, so once you elect your chairperson, it'll be up to them to grant this request. And last, before we go to roll call, please remember to turn on your microphone before speaking. That will help us get an accurate recording. So with that, we'll go to roll call. Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Nessa Gallego.
Present.
Fred Avon Rhodes.
Present.
Ed Hendel.
Present.
John Aitken is absent. Robert Jaramillo.
Present.
Raquel Abel.
Present.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Item 2 is approval of minutes from the August 28th, 2024 meeting. While you've received the legal action report for the last meeting, the verbatim transcript was received this morning, which didn't allow you time to review it. So we'll continue this item to the next meeting. We do have a hard copy in your handouts, so you can review it before then. So moving on to item 3, election of officers. The committee needs to elect a chair and a vice chair. What we'll do first is open the floor for nominations. We'll consider the nominations for chairperson first, have the committee vote on that, then we'll consider nominations for vice chair and take that vote. Once the officers are elected, I'll turn the meeting over to the chair to complete the meeting. So are there any nominations for chairperson?
I'd like to nominate Ed.
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
Anyone else? Okay, so we have a nomination for Ed to serve as chair. Ed, if you are elected, are you agreeable to serving?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. If anyone else wants to, I'm
happy. Can I elect myself as chair?
You can certainly nominate yourself.
I'm nominating myself. There we go.
Okay, anybody else? All right, so what we need now is a motion for the committee to vote on. Would anyone like to make a motion to elect Ed or Trey Davon as chairperson?
Make a motion to elect Ed Hendel.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Okay, now we'll go to roll call on the vote or the motion to elect Ed Hendel as chairperson. Maribel Alvarez.
Yes.
Vanessa Gallego.
Yes.
Trey Davon Rhodes.
Yes.
Ed Hendel.
I'll abstain. Is that allowed?
No, sir.
Okay. I'll vote yes.
Robert Jaramillo.
Aye.
And Raquel Abel.
Yes.
All All right, the motion passes by a vote of 6-0. So next we'll move on to vice chairperson.
I'd like to nominate Trey.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Anyone else? All right. Trey, if you are elected, are you willing to serve?
Yes.
So, Ed, is that a motion?
Yes, I move that we nominate Trey for vice chair.
And Raquel, was that a second?
Yes.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Now we'll go to roll call. Maribel Alvarez?
Yes.
Vanessa Gallego?
Yes.
Trey Davon Rhodes?
Yes.
Ed Hendel?
Yes.
John Aitken is absent. Robert Jaramillo?
Aye.
And Raquel Abel?
Yes.
All right, that motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Congratulations to you both. So Chair Hendel, I'll now turn the meeting over to you with the reminder of the request that call to the audience be moved up earlier on the agenda, if you so desire.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. I appreciate the nomination for chair. I was on this committee in 2022, I'm the president of another organization as well, so I do know a thing or two about running meetings, but obviously staff, if I go out of order or need to add anything, please don't hesitate to jump in. So I like the idea of moving the call to the audience up because I do see we have a number of people. The one thing I would propose that we do before that is I don't know if the memo from the city attorney has been made public. I'm not sure, but we received a memo that stated that we were not supposed to propose a map for this year and that the city will not be redistricting this year. So my preference would be to have that memo read into the record so that the people in the audience know that before they speak. I'm open to other ideas if people have thoughts, but I think that might be the best way to have people informed and able to participate to the greatest extent possible with the most knowledge. Are chairs allowed to make motions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I guess I'll just, who would be the right person to read that into the record? Would that just be me or would staff want to do that?
So 2 points. I think Chairman Hendel, it would be better if someone else made the motion formally. I'm not sure that the chair can make motions. I'm not sure he can or can't.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but the chair can recommend a motion and or ask for a motion.
And then someone could just say, so moved?
Exactly.
Okay, great. So I will make a motion for this, but who do you think would be the appropriate person to, or even just summarize if you don't want to read the whole thing, but do we want to have someone announce that from staff or should I do it myself? Or
Mr. Chairman, members, I think you can have whoever you would like to read it.
He's right there. So I didn't see you. That you'd
are
be
we?
The perfect person
yeah.
For it.
Good morning or afternoon. I'm Mike Rankin. I'm the city attorney. I authored the memo in question. I don't know that you need to have me read it word for word, although it's relatively short. But fundamentally, the purpose of the memo was to, people were questioning, well, why are we calling the committee together if it doesn't look like that we need to have a redistricting? Well, both the city charter and the city code actually require that the mayor and council constitute this committee every year that is a potential redistricting year. And so the memo goes into, well, what does potential redistricting year mean? And it's every 4 years, except it's also every 2 years after a decennial census. But regardless, this is a potential redistricting year. So to comply with the charter and the code, which is something we always want to do, the mayor and council acted and called the committee together. But in doing so, the mayor and council also noted that they won't be considering any specific redistricting proposals this cycle. And the reason for that is because the population deviation numbers are such that no redistricting is required this year. It's only 2.9%. So no redistricting is required. And the way the code is written is that some of the committee's work in terms of the examination of the different potential redistricting options, well, that's only to occur if, in fact, a redistricting is required. So that doesn't mean, however, that the committee doesn't have any work to do or that there's not anything important to talk about, because there still is. What I would recommend is that the scope of the duties of the committee this cycle is to review and discuss the population and demographic data as provided by the city, by the city clerk's office. Ask any questions that you have about that data. Confirm what we believe to be true in terms of the maximum population deviation, to confirm that no redistricting is required, and report back to the mayor and council before the end of the year with any recommendations, any concerns, any questions you have, based on that review of the population and demographic data. I also put in the memo that I think it would be useful that even though no redistricting proposal will be considered in this cycle, if the work of the committee reveals that you have some suggestions about the future process, about when the committee should be pulled together and what type of information should be provided and what type of public outreach should be made, then certainly you should talk about that as well and give any relevant recommendations as part of your report back to the mayor and council once your work is done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do have one quick question for you, if you don't mind. The next redistricting cycle is in 2028. If the NPD is still below 10% in 2028, will the redistricting advisory committee be asked not to redistrict once again, or will it be a judgment call by the mayor and council?
It'll still be a judgment call by the mayor and council. So say, for example, it's still below 10%, but it's 9%. Right? And it looks like it's headed towards 10. The mayor and council at that time might say, go ahead and provide us some options so that we don't, you know, because another 4 years could pass, we'd go above the 10%, et cetera. But in this particular cycle, they've indicated they're not going to request any options or recommended options from the committee.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, so with that knowledge that we will not be redistricting this year and we'll be focusing on confirming the MPD and thinking about process for 2028 and thinking about, you know, longer term goals here, I would like to propose that we move the call to the audience to the next agenda item. How do people feel about that?
Second that.
Okay, we have actually instead, could you make the motion? Yeah, because I can't make motions, so just say so moved. Yeah. We're still learning how this works, but I think that's correct. Thank you. So do we have a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Okay, I don't think we need roll call. Let's just do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And as the chair, do I vote? Okay, aye. All opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. So with that, we will open it up to call to the audience. Did people fill out cards? Do we have like names for me to call on or anything?
I'm seeing that there are no cards submitted.
Okay. Well, can we just have people line up and speak, or do they have to do a card?
You may ask if there are any members of the public who would like to speak if they have not submitted a card, but we do ask that they submit their name for the record.
Okay. Okay, so if there's anyone out there in the audience who would like to speak, we'd love to hear from you, but you will have to fill out a card. Where are the cards? Back there. Okay. So does anyone want to speak? Okay. Well, that simplifies things. all right, so we can move on to item 4 in the original agenda. Consideration and discussion of redistricting advisory committee scope and of duties as described in the August 30th memo from the city's attorney's office, which we just received a description of. So I'll just open the floor if anyone wants to provide some thoughts on where to get started. I have ideas too, but if anyone else wants to kick us off.
I'd like to make a comment, if I may.
Yes.
Based on the memorandum we received from a legal counsel, I feel at this time that we should go based on the recommendation that the MPD is at 2.9%. And I know we worked our heart really hard the last time we were here to get it down to 2.9. So my recommendation is to leave it as is for now, maybe go into some other type of research that we need to have, and recommendations for future agendas. Thank you.
I agree, Robert.
Yes, I think even last week before the attorney's opinion came, we were inclined in that direction, that less than 3% was not. But I still think we saw a role for us as a study committee, and perhaps one that can think a little bit less passionately about some of the steps and the improvements that the process may need to get a good outcome. The only thing I wanted to put on the record is that 28 is quite a bit down the road. Mm-hmm. So when we enter into the scope of our recommendations, we should consider the timing of, like, are we or scaffold the timing of, are there things that we think council mayor should be concerned about in 25, 26, 27, leading, and then the year of the redistricting. So that's just for the record, to a temporal sort of grid, that things that we're talking about here do not then get lost 4 years from now, but midterm, short term, long term. Thank you.
If I may, I think that's a good valid point. Based on all the development that we're having in our community and all the homes that are coming up in all parts of Tucson. So I concur with that. Thank you.
I agree very much. In 2022, we proposed maps. There was a lot going on. I think the MPD was something like 12 or 13%. So we had our work cut out for us just to bring it down. We had 3 public hearings. There was a lot going on. This time we can focus more on future process proposals. Last time we actually did include in our letter to mayor and council that we wanted a task force to start as early as possible. I don't think this made it into the final letter, but we were thinking like around January, maybe like a year in advance of redistricting, we should start having community outreach, listening sessions, education, things like that. Possibly even, you know, starting the redistricting advisory committee a year in advance. Obviously that didn't end up happening, and given that we're not redistricting this time, perhaps that might not have been necessary. So fair enough. But I do think that it would make sense to focus our recommendations on a process like that. I think definitely starting more than a few months in advance would be very important. Last time we had a lot of people, I think rightfully, complaining that we were just going too fast. There wasn't enough time to consider the proposals properly, and they felt that things were being kind of rammed through a bit. And again, I think all of us on the committee last time agreed with that assessment from the public. And we shared that frustration ourselves. So I think that could be a big part of our recommendations for 2028, is starting early. So let's see. Item five is essentially what we're talking about right now. So we could hold a vote. I'm open to ideas here, but one idea is to hold a vote to not make any map proposals this cycle, or any redistricting changes. I believe that is what the city attorney suggested, although he also mentioned that we should verify the MPD numbers. So to be honest, I'm not quite sure how to verify the numbers. Like, we just have numbers in the binder. I guess we could take a look at a map, and if there's a particular process that you'd like us to go through to verify that the numbers are correct. Okay. He's shaking his head. So I think it's just a matter of, oh, yeah, please.
At who counts and who doesn't, anything like that, just so that you're comfortable that you understand the information that's been provided.
Okay, thank you.
It's very interesting that when we look at it, and I like to propose that we have a study session on the demographics to identify for mayor and council maybe some patterns that could develop. There is some packing in some of the district of the wards in terms of concentration of minorities. There are some things there, nothing that is alarming, nothing that disturbs the order and the propriety of what we're doing. But there are some trends, and we should also have a conversation about, Tucson is undergoing rapid change. So those populations change based on development, and Plan Tucson may actually have dramatic impact for years from now in terms of where housing is being infilled and concentrated and different things like that. So I think that we should have a study session focus on the demographics alone, and that we come with that mindset. A lot of the questions that we're asking preparation regarding minorities, census categories. I think we'll do a service to the city, if nothing else, for one more meeting to just identify some potential issues to look at. And I don't think that would be wasteful in any way.
I completely agree. We should do that. Thank you. Were there any changes from the 2.9%? My recollection is that's what we got it down to in 2022. So it sounds like that has not changed in the last 2 years. Have there been any updates that we should be aware of in terms of changes in these numbers since 2022? I know there hasn't been a census since then, but my understanding is that there are somewhat regular updates in between the 10-year census?
Yeah, between 2022 and 2024, the biggest change would be just exactly like you said, the little census updates. But it's very minimal and has not changed the deviation. Additionally, since 2022, the state as well as the county did change a few precincts around, but they were mostly combining empty precincts into precincts that had voting population. So those really are the only two changes between 22 and today.
Empty precincts, meaning like business areas where there are no houses, things like that?
Correct, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that is a little bit hidden, and this is not our fault or it's just the way that the census and the Supreme Court have laid out some of these rules. The conflation of race and socioeconomics is sort of hidden in the map. By that I mean, are poor people concentrated in areas with, you know, representation that is impacted in a different way from But I know we're not measuring that. You know, the call is for demographic based on race and ethnicity. But if our own analysis ends up as a layer of that, revealing that that's the case in a city that is undergoing such gentrification or development, whichever one you want to call it, I think that would be a really insightful conversation to have and to watch for. And some of us have already instinctive knowledge about how that happens. But I think it's a question of fairness and justice that eventually could really be important for a growing city. But yet, again, that would take some study and some layering of observations that are not immediately obvious when you look only at race and the geography.
I think that's an excellent point. And to add to that, we have in our binders, you know, we have the 7 goals that we're trying to meet, right? We've got getting the MPD below 10%. We've got minimizing disruption. We've got rough proportionality. We've got a couple more. I believe that one thing we can do if we want is recommend changes or additions to that. For example, we could say some sort of rough proportionality like principle or some sort of consideration of socioeconomic status in addition to just the race from the census. I think I don't have a specific idea in mind at the moment, but what I'm saying is that, like, for example, item D, which is the rough proportionality principle, that is not a federal court issue. That's not a, you know, written in stone. We that was added by mayor and council prior to the 2022 redistricting advisory committee, which I think means they could add another one next time if they want. So we could propose that they add, like, they can't mess with the MPD one. That's higher up. That's from, you know, Supreme Court level. But some of these are just city policy that can be added to. So they could add a socioeconomic factor, and we could propose that. And since we have 4 years this time, I think there'd be plenty of time if they want to do that, we could propose that.
I also want to say that I learned a lot last time. As you know, it was a very contested time, difficult time. I learned a lot about the perception of the community in terms of compactness and recognizable boundaries. And I think that, I mean, I recall not one of my finest moments when I sarcastically talked about, we can't move the geography. If you live on the west side, you'll be on the west side. We can't make the west east. We can't make the north south. That's just not the power of this commission. But beyond that sarcastic comment and not the finest moment, I think that there was also a sense that some boundaries are iconic and symbolic for people in the community. And that has to be accounted for in when you interpret city policy of compactness and recognizable boundaries. But if you go down that path too narrowly, then you're talking about this street versus that street creating a boundary and you not being in 6 and being in 5, which at that time also felt like an impossible scenario because the boundary wasn't significantly altered, but the precincts had to be. You know, it's just the work they did. However, there were some things we were trying to do when it involved the freeway and the entire separation of one area from another across, you know, I-10. You know, I listened to that and I thought, yeah, you know, people feel that in a different way that they feel it's around the corner and I'm in 5 and that in 6, but that's just over there. That's an entire pieces of land that were dividing those communities. So I think that those nuances could also be noted as part of a study session in the future so that there's more transparency about the interpretation of some of those terms with both room for improvement that gives the community a little bit of forgiveness of those who are in the commission, but it also gives the commissioners a sense that People are responding to something that feels real to them.
I just want to thank those comments. I think it also helps with establishing trust with our community, especially with the last round and being so contentious. It's just other ways that we can educate and continue to repair some communities that have been historically left behind. So I thank you for sharing that in the space.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Thank you. I agree with that. And we learned a lot in 2022 from the public hearings. I personally was surprised by some of the comments that we heard from numerous people. And then prior to that, I hadn't really thought too much one way or the other of what ward I lived in. That wasn't, you know, especially important thing to me personally, but we learned that a lot of people do feel passionately about the history. You know, they've been in this ward for a long time. You pointed out some examples of that last time. We heard from people in the downtown area. We heard from people around like El Rio. We heard from people in Ward 5 on the south side of Tucson. Downtown Ward 6, what we did last time is we split one of the precincts in half because half of the precinct really, really didn't want to move, and the other half was seemingly fine with it. So we split it in half and took that one half, moved it, which helped get the MPD lower, and we left the other half where it was because that's what the people wanted. But I think we, or at least I, was surprised by how passionately people feel an identity with their ward, but that's definitely something we need to keep in mind going forward. You know, a sense of community and belonging and history we just have to keep that in mind. And we had some maps drawn up for the rough proportionality principle that would have shifted everything. It was sort of like a clockwise motion of precincts from 4 to 5, 5 to 1, 1 to 3, and I think 3 to 2 and 2 to 4. I can't remember that part, but it was just like tons of changes would have needed to have been made to actually achieve the principle of creating a third majority minority ward. And we discovered that a lot of people would have been upset. So, we got our work cut out for us. But we definitely learned a lot.
Mr. Chair, Madam, members of the committee, just a point of information. One area that I haven't heard questions about that you might want to ask the clerk about, because it can affect a lot of areas, is annexations. Annexations have actually not been, I think they will tell you and you can ask, significant in this period, but they can be significant. They're probably the most significant population adder between censuses. So not to kibitz, just you might want to ask questions about that.
No, I love it. Please keep it coming. Any good questions we should be asking, please do tell us. I appreciate that. Madam Clerk, would you like to tell us about annexations? Are there any major annexations planned for the next couple of years that we should be aware of?
Mr. Chair,
demographics?
Yes, and members of the committee, there have been several annexations over the last, since December of 2022 when you last met. Most of them are in the Uvalde Tech Park area around I-10 between wards 4 and 5. We've had smaller annexations on the outskirts of the city, but very small in population. So it's mainly that area around I-10 that in wards 4 and 5 that have seen annexations, which might inform the total population in ward 4 being slightly higher. So that is something that we would bring to you at your request. We've checked with the annexation office. They don't anticipate any annexations in the near future. So the map that we have shown you now is with all existing annexations that have taken place since you last met.
Okay, and so the reason the MPD stayed the same is because neither Ward 4 nor Ward 5 is our most deviated population, so therefore it didn't affect the calculation. But there were some changes in the 4-5 area. Okay. And just to remind everybody, or for people in the audience who might not know, the population deviation MPD that we're discussing is calculated by doing some math with the most overrepresented ward and the most underrepresented ward. And so if changes occur to wards that are more in the middle, that will not affect the number. So that's why significant changes were made, but the MPD is the same. And I guess it's hard to know annexations 4 years out. We probably can't really predict too much about, or well, is that true, Madam Clerk? Do we have any idea in the next 4 years if anything's coming up?
The question that we asked was, are there any annexations coming up that would take effect before you need to redistrict so that we would know if any areas were affected by the annexations? And the answer we got was no, not this year. That we can ask, I think the time for an annexation is at least 6 or 8 months. So they would be starting fairly soon if they were going to do annexations next year. So we can ask that question again in a different way and just see what the answer is.
I think the question you asked is the more important one. So I appreciate that. I don't think there's going to be a great way to build in the next 4 years worth of annexations into our recommendations this year, aside from just saying we'll have to see what it looks like in 4 years. So I'm not too worried about that at this point.
And depending on the process that you recommend, if you meet annually or such, then we would provide an updated ward map so that you could see any annexations that have taken place and what the demographics, any changes to those as the city annexes more land.
Okay, thank you very much. Snapshot.
Last time, we also confronted quite a bit of, and I think it's because it felt really rushed and it was above 10% and we felt we had to act. But there was some real misunderstandings of some of the basic concepts we were using. Rough proportionality, it's something that the council, the mayor and council adopted as a city policy with the idea of empowering minority voters. And that's just something that I don't think came across clearly, that in order to accomplish that greater goal, sometimes some of the precincts and the wards had to have some movements. But I also felt on the other flip side, it was too much constructed as, at times in the discourse, as a political ploy to necessarily endorse a change or a political candidate. And that's not what it is. It doesn't speak at all to whoever is running in that ward, even if it is a minority ward, could be a non-minority person. And that's just up for them to get the trust of that community. But it was a factor of our minority communities dominant in the city, and the majority of the wards are not reflected of that. But I remember having to read 2 or 3 times that memo and understand that word and go online and do some search on, what does it mean and why did it come about and what was the origin of the Supreme Court decision on that? Who challenged that? I mean, that was a whole education that we had to do. And I feel like if the public had been more informed about that and we had had more time to do education sessions only on the basic factual description of some of the terms, we would not, because we ended up having some folks be really hurt about the attempt to do rough proportionality as an attempt to curtail minority voting power, which was exactly the opposite of what the term means. But again, that was because it was very rushed and very quickly, and the maps were confounding. So now we have the opportunity to expand that horizon of education and basic, starting with the same deck of cards. This is what we mean by that.
One thing I thought was interesting last time, and I've been reflecting on this a lot the last 2 years, is that the concept of dilution is complicated, right? Like the one definition of dilution could be, you know, packing minorities into just wards 1 and 5. And so that's the goal of rough proportionality, is essentially to undo that or fix that, which is a noble goal, in my opinion. But we heard from a bunch of people at the public hearings that they were using dilution in the exact opposite way. They were saying, by splitting up Hispanic communities in Ward 1 and putting some of them into Ward 3, we are diluting the block of power that, you know, those communities share. And, you know, by splitting them up, we're diluting them. And so I was hearing the word dilution meaning kind of the exact opposite thing coming from both sides. And just as a philosophical matter, I kind of see both sides. That would be good to get that sorted out for next time, because I think both sides have a good point. Like, if your priority is maintaining a block of power in your ward, I can see how you might not want to split those up. On the other hand, at a citywide level, having just two majority-minority wards is not necessarily proportional, so it kind of depends on your perspective there. I just thought that was interesting and hard to parse, hard to know what to do with that.
If I can add, and I think that's the value that we can bring this time around, as you're saying, Maribel, like having a workshop, right, where we're able to go over these terms again, and a new person like me coming in, learning from y'all last time, and just having those terms be part of our vocabulary, where the public is able to come and identify and be like, this is the term that really speaks to us, whether it's diluting or whether it's loss of power, however it's perceived. And I think that's where the value really comes from these meetings this time. And I think that's one thing that we can do again to uplift the community and be able to have them be here present and really claim what's needed, right? At the same time, having them understand that this is power too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Other thoughts?
We're sort of floating between item 4 and 5 here. I'm trying to figure out when to call number 4 and move on to number 5. So there's sort of, it's all just a broad discussion, but it's been a fantastic discussion so far. And I'd encourage people to continue to share their thoughts. Although one thing I want to just quickly pause, I know we are in the middle of a work day, right? People have classes and things. Is there a particular time that we need to adjourn? I can make sure we let people out on time.
I think we were planning on only going until 2.
Okay.
If we're able to, I'd like to go to 1:30.
Okay. I think that's doable. Okay. I think we can keep it to 1:30. We have 40 more minutes. That should be okay. Yeah. Well, one idea is we could just make the memorandum from the city attorney, you know, official in our proposal, we could say, we, given that the MPD is below 3%, we don't need to redistrict this year, and we do not suggest that that occur. I mean, that's essentially what we're, the mayor and council have basically already, you know, stated that. So I don't think this would be breaking news or anything, but we could just kind of, I think that's kind of the goal of item four here. So that's what I'm thinking. But if anyone has other thoughts, I'm open to that as well. Yeah, I can phrase it better. I mean, well, okay, so the ultimate goal of this committee is to present a letter to mayor and council with our recommendations. So we could just vote now to include, you know, to kind of start our letter with essentially that. We're not writing the letter this week. We're going to have another meeting and study session, et cetera, but we could just kind of check that box if we want to. How do people feel about that? Okay, so let me phrase it better then. And then someone will just have to say, so moved. Okay, so given I propose a motion that states that given that we are comfortably below the 10% threshold for MPD, we believe that no redistricting is required in 2024, and we will not be proposing any maps or redistricting proposals this year.
So moved.
Thank you. We have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. And with that, we will move on to item five, consideration and discussion regarding the process and related information for formulating our recommendation to mayor and council. So more of the timeline process, any kind of task force, community education, listening sessions. Do we want to meet annually or do we just want to start a year in advance? Anything like that? I think this would be a good time to discuss that type of thing.
I like a lot of the ideas on the table. I'd like to move that the next meeting be the study session on the demographics of the city by as much granular information as we can get in a session. And then I'd like to note for the record some of the ideas that have been mentioned, the ones you just referred to, and then come back to that as possible elements in our final letter to the mayor and council.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Thank you. Any discussion? Personally, I agree. I think deciding on the process recommendations should probably be one of the later things we do, and not doing that right now. Would make sense. I think doing the study session first makes sense. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. We're unanimous on everything today. Okay, great. So that doesn't mean we necessarily have to stop talking about this right now, but we have now decided that we will have a study session at the next meeting, and after that, we will decide on process recommendations. So I guess I'll just open it back up for more discussion. I have a couple things I could mention, but if anyone else has any general points they want to make or questions for staff or anything.
I have a question for staff. I don't know if the same, if in a year where there is no mandate to do to convene the commission, the study advisory commission, if then the thing that replaces us is it a task force? Is it a study group? Is it a different group with a different mandate? I don't know what are the legal boundaries of this commission doing this work versus another group of people, which it could be larger, it could be smaller, that is actually ad hoc almost. So I'd like to ask that.
And my response would be, what is your recommendation? Because you could continue as the task force or recommend that you continue the work that you've started. You could propose additional members, an outreach plan. There's enough time where it's almost like wide open for whatever you think would be best for informing the public and also allowing as much public participation as we can. That would be my recommendation, is you think about it and decide what you want to advise mayor and council.
That's a phrase we did not hear very often last time. There's plenty of time for you to figure out what you want to do. So that's music to our ears.
And Mr. Chair, members, just to supplement what the clerk said, I agree completely. There's some legal flexibility too. You could have an ordinance that extends your life, specifically this commission. Also, under Chapter 24 of the Charter, the mayor and council are free to create whatever advisory committees they want. So it wouldn't have to necessarily be within the framework of quote unquote a redistricting advisory committee. So there's lots of options here.
Do we have the option to extend this exact body, or would we have to get renominated and redo our oaths and all that kind of stuff? Because don't we expire in December?
In theory, I think you expire in December, or I'm not sure what the ordinance says, but you also can have a separate ordinance that would extend your life. Yes, this committee.
So we would have to ask mayor and council to do that. They would create an ordinance, and
right,
then it would be done. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's one way you could do it.
Okay. So we have a lot of options.
If I may. I think it's important what we try to have the people know, the communities, the community members know, that we want to be as transparent as possible. And I think that's what might have been lacking the last time, or the misunderstanding that the people had, because we were the time limit that we had as well. But, you know, we have to make them understand, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. We have to be as transparent as much as we have to be to gain that trust. I don't think the community members don't have much trust in city government or federal government or state government, let's face it. But I think if we put the word out to say we want your input as well, I think it's valued. It's valued that people speak up and we adhere to them. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
I forgot what I was going to say.
Regarding the motion that you approved to recommend or make official the mayor and council's decision that no redistricting is necessary, and in light of your comment, we might want to use part of the study session at the next meeting to review language as part of your interim recommendation to mayor and council that no redistricting will take place. You want to continue the work on recommending a process for the 2028 redistricting. That is something that then we could make a public record. We could disseminate that information as widely as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I think that the public didn't really understand what was the value of doing a redistricting. Like, what was the core value that was being upheld? I think in terms of representation and democracy and the way that people's interests are through the wards sort of channeled to to attending to the business of quality of life. All of those things were like not connected. The dots were not connected. And I'm thinking of when, you know, the planners and the architects do a process of a charrette, you know, when they come to a community, and I now seen it in the South Side even beautifully with Legos and things, you know, where people say, here's this empty lot and what would you like to happen here? And here's a fountain and here's a playground. And, you know, people have a chance to play with those. It's almost like we couldn't do a lot of that because we were in binding legally to offer to the mayor and county. We're not there to play, you know, last time. It was just like rush, rush, rush. And everything we did and we moved that map had implications for like the recommendation. But I'm wondering if in the years leading to, what would it look like if we had a more truly civic education approach and the public got to play a little bit with some of the maps and the boundaries. And there's this wonderful computer program where you can move this and it's like, oh, look what that, you know, all of that, it seemed to me like would build trust in the process being, but you have to do that when you're not in a binding situation that you are the one to recommend and to make the change, because then you can let the imagination fly and people may come up with solutions that we haven't even seen in the map. But I want to put that in the record because I think that whatever happens next needs to be funded and empowered enough by the mayor and council so that the city clerk's office can conduct that type of work with that type of resources to be able to do that, to have people play with a map and take it to a neighborhood and say, we're here. What would it look like if we change this? Oh, boom, look at that. I think it just changed the dynamic completely of how people feel once they look at the map the next time. So, but that last time, every word out of our mouth was like consequential. I think what you get to do that kind of community building when you know that the stakes are not going to be punitive to anybody.
This time we have 4 years instead of like 3 days, right? Last time we had a new map, a public hearing 3 days later, a vote an hour later. It was just, yeah. No, I agree. As for playing with the map, is there any way to make that more accessible to the public? Like, I think the answer might be no, but is there like a easy way to make some kind of online tool that people could use to make their own map, or is that really, really difficult?
You are correct in assuming that the answer would be no.
Okay.
The most accessibility that we can do is upload like a GIS file to where people can zoom in and see specific demographic data about precincts that they may be clicking on. But as far as changing the representation of the different precincts to a different ward, that would not be possible.
Okay. And we discussed briefly via email a possibility of us getting access to some of the data that has like precinct level census data. Is that possible? Just for us, I'm not, just so we can play with things a bit ourselves?
Yes, yeah. So most of that census data is locked behind the vendor software that you see on the screen now. And we have to get specific instructions from the vendor to extract that data. And we'll be getting to it at a later time once we actually have that data for it. Because we can see it now, but as far as getting it into a Excel spreadsheet for you is the difficult part. You can kind of see it on your screen here onto the left-hand side. We have all of this data, but just getting it for you is the part that we're waiting on.
Okay. So do you need anything from us on that, or do you have, like, do we need a motion or anything, Or are you just working on that on the side?
We do not need anything from you. We are just working on it. Okay. You will be notified when we have it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So the final output will be like a giant Excel sheet, basically?
Correct. A giant Excel sheet. I think it's about 170 columns total.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you. Yeah. I'm a professional data scientist, so I can wrangle it a bit. It looks like there's a lot of, like, what is all that stuff? I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you they have the census shorthand for most of the columns, and you'll be getting a key along with it.
Okay,
that,
so yeah, any kind of data dictionary or key would be great. And then the two, I believe this was emailed to the whole committee. I had asked some questions of staff, and we got some great answers, so thank you guys for that. As far as what, and we'll get more into this in the study session, so just a quick preview, but the definition of minority for the purposes of redistricting is anyone who is not listed as white alone, which I believe means if you are both white and Hispanic, you would count as minority for the purposes of redistricting. That'll be some of the, like that column in the spreadsheet will be important, the white alone column. And then I guess like just the whole population of the precinct minus that would be the minority population, correct? Okay. Some of it was a little hard to figure out like how the numbers added up. Like they add up to way more than 100%, obviously, because you have people with multiple racial backgrounds, and so the way to get it to add up to 100 is total minus white alone. Anyway, we'll get into that more at the study session, but that's kind of the, at least for rough proportionality, that's like the key piece of math that needs to be done.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but I just can't resist asking. The 170 columns on the Excel, do you find that daunting or do you find that exciting?
I mean, if it's, yeah, more exciting. Honestly, I'm going to delete most of them because like the numbers we were looking at there was like number of, you know, like Taiwanese, zero, right? There were a lot of zeros in there. I don't know if you could pull that up again, but I remember seeing a whole bunch of zeros. So I don't mean to say that, you know, we should be deleting people from our calculations. To clarify, I mean, to get a sense of the total minority population, you actually don't need all of those columns. So I'll be deleting them for the purposes of calculating that number to do rough proportionality. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I'm figuring anything over 100 columns would still be exciting.
Yes. It'll be a large file. It'll take a while to open on your computer, but yeah. That's okay.
Thank you.
I think what I'd love to see, and I can just make this, and or staff could make it or whatever, but just the minority percentage in each precinct, because that you could even put that on a visual map and then you could say, oh, look, I'm just making this up to be clear. The west half of 153 is much more Hispanic than the right half of 153, which is split in half. So if we recombine those, that would increase the percentage of minority population in Ward 3. Like it would just give you a way to visually see what would happen if you moved this. Whereas right now, all we have is we can ask staff to do it and watch what happens on the map, or we can just use our general sense of where minority populations are focused, which is right now mostly in wards 1 and 5, but we have all the percentages here. But that doesn't give us a very precise way of knowing what would happen. So like last time, we would just like take turns saying, what would happen if you move this over here? And they would just try it and we would see what happens. And it was sort of a scattershot thing. So this might give us more ability to think through proposals. Because if we, I think one thing we have to consider carefully is that if we want to do rough proportionality, we have to do a lot of changes. And last time we had discussed this clockwise pattern, people moving from 4 to 5, 5 to 1, 1 to 3, et cetera. But that's complicated, right? It's hard to predict exactly what will happen when you move one. So anyway, the reason I brought up this line of inquiry is that you had mentioned the ability to play with maps, either the public or at least us, and this will get us one step closer to that. We might never have a situation where the public has like a clear tool to do it themselves, but this will at least give us some ability to get a sense of it.
I'm just going to add that it was very interesting seeing you like show, like, you know, like you're pointing it out, but I'm over here like peeking. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we can educate the public. Like, this is how we went about it. And this is what goes into it. So say future, like there might be folks that were inspiring to be here, right? And be like, I want to be part of this process. Because I think that's equally the things that we want to do as well, as inspire others to really take part in an ownership over this. So thank you for showing me and me over here peeking.
I think study sessions are fun because you can unleash all sorts of information points that otherwise you're restricted from sharing with the public in the direct action. And one point that was really important for me was when you compare Tucson to some of the worst and the best scenarios, you know, if you compare Tucson to Chicago or to El Paso, then it's like, whoa, I see why we're here. In Chicago, the wards or, you know, are all, they also receive proportional budget. So it counts a lot because a rich district versus it just really goes directly to the population, the representation, and who gets the money of the city coffers, you know. So to there it was just like complete consequential. In a city like El Paso, different, but you have 85% of the population is Hispanic. Then the questions there of representation become less important as the question of fairness and justice in relationship to areas of the city that are being underinvested in other ways. And the conversation there is not about race or ethnicity, because 85% of the city is Hispanic, but it's about all the other issues that affects how socioeconomic alliances form with businesses, with the interstate, and all the toxic things that happen in relationship to the industries around it. So it's so fascinating to see Tucson in the middle of being, you know, a city that is trying to establish its rightful balance of these things in the context of the worst is not here. The worst is yet to come, you know. This is not a situation, but it could run away from you because of the rapid development of the city and of the balance. So to me, in a study session, we'll be able to even create a couple of case studies like that, where you really see like, oh, this is consequential because we're here today, but this could actually lead to this unintended action in the future. And I thought that was, but that was an education that I almost had to like do on my own, you know, like go and pursue it. And I feel that was too much of a heavy burden to put on the public. Like go and get a master's degree in population demographics and, you know, Supreme Court case law, and then come and talk to us. That's not fair.
That's a really interesting point. And now you've made me curious. Does each ward of Tucson get an equal budget every year? I guess I assume so, but I don't really know.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, each ward gets the same amount of budgeted to run their office. There are different grants and housing programs, things like that will differ from ward to ward depending on the need.
Got it. Thank you. in general, is the amount that they use to run their office like kind of a minimal thing that's just like staffing and stuff, or is it a large proportion of the total work that occurs in the ward?
It is very minimal, and it's mainly the cost of staff. You're right, there is some budget for community outreach. When ARPA funds were available, each office was given a certain amount, the same amount of ARPA funds to spend as they saw fit. But now that those funds are going away, it's back to a pretty minimal budget.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you very much. So for the study session, I know we discussed this last time, but I can't remember. Is that closed to the public or open to the public, but no call to the audience? Or like, what's the difference between a study session and a regular meeting?
Mr. Chair, a study session would be open to the public. All meetings of the committee need to be open to the public. Typically, study sessions do not include a call to the audience, but it's up to the chair if they want to allow members of the audience to speak at any time.
Okay.
Generally, the study session is more for this kind of roundtable discussion among the committee members, and a regular meeting would be more formal discussion, I should say.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, Mr. Chair, although this can vary, usually study sessions, excuse me, will not involve legal action decisions. You can sometimes make decisions, but the whole idea is that you discuss without deciding. Is that
okay? That makes sense. So we could have a study session next time and then one more meeting after that to finalize our proposal, or more if we want. We have time. It's so nice. But probably like at least two more meetings, the study session and then one to prepare our recommendation. And then I think we actually would need one more meeting after that to officially vote on the letter. If I remember correctly, in 2022, we met 2 days in a row, where one day was to do a public hearing and hash out some stuff and decide what maps to propose. And then the city staff like wrote the letter quickly and did a great job with that. And then we met the next day to ratify it. And so we'd probably need, I guess, three more meetings, but the third one could be a quick one. Yeah. Okay, well, it's 1:17. I'd like to close at 1:30. So why don't we move on to scheduling future meetings, unless I'll give one more chance for any other discussion items. Anybody have anything? Okay, let's move to item 7, schedule for future meetings. So I believe the staff did a little poll and found out when our availability lines up. I don't remember, we have that here. Oh, yes. So, it looks like Wednesday, either probably next Wednesday, maybe, would be open for. Okay. Let me just ask staff. I don't know if you had a chance to like go through this and pick some dates that work for everybody. If not, that's fine. We can figure it out now. But
except for committee member Aiken, was Mondays, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Everybody, all the other schedules conflicted with any other days or times other than that finite period on Mondays.
Okay. Monday to, from what was the time you said?
16th Monday, which you haven't.
Which is for me, yeah. Yeah. Right. So Monday, you said, what was the time that you said? Just 1 hour?
1 hour.
Okay, so we, yeah, that's probably not enough time. Okay, but thank you for the update. Yeah. And this is very helpful. I guess I'll just ask, could everyone please take a quick look at the piece of paper we got with the scheduling and confirm that your entry is correct, or if there's any updates? Right. I'm wondering if we, yeah, I like the 30th. That's a Monday. Yeah. So that would fit. What? So 5 to 6, that's because Raquel is available after 5 and Trey is available until 6. So
I can go till 6:30 if need be.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, okay. Okay. Both sides are a bit flexible. That's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. Am I correct that Mr. Aiken is only available one day the entire cycle in person? Because if so, we should definitely have a meeting that day. I'm wondering if we should also do one before that.
There's no need for it.
Yeah. It's just that October for me gets pretty crazy. So I'm wondering if we could do like the, who can't do Wednesday? Someone can't do Wednesdays?
Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay. Let me just look at this for a bit. Let's all, the 30th we will do. I'm just, I want to plan more than one in the future. I want to plan both the study session and the next regular meeting after that, because all of our calendars fill up, and it's just, if we can get something, if we can get two of them on the books, that would be great. Let's see. So Wednesdays don't work. So Monday is our only day that works. Is that? What about the first half of October? What about October 7th?
7th's a Monday as well.
Right. Cool. So, but John is not. So John can come on the 30th. We'll lock that in. But he is not available on. So our options are September, all Mondays. Monday the 23rd, Monday the 30th, and Monday October 7th. Those are the three Mondays that I'd like to look at.
When is that?
Yeah, October 7th. Which of course has a different meaning that it's rather dark, but it's fine to meet that day, I think. The 23rd, okay, so John is not available on the 23rd or the 7th of, sorry, John is not available on September 23rd or October 7th, but I think. Yeah, what about, what about the 23rd? What do people think about the 23rd? Or I guess, which one do we think is more valuable for John to be there? Because he's going to miss one of the next two meetings.
Well, the 30th is going to be here.
But should we do the study session on the 30th?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Okay. So then John will miss the session where we actually make our recommendations, though.
But I think he'll be remote. He can be remote.
No, he won't. He's not. According to this, anyway, he can't. So if I were John, I think I would rather be there when decisions are being made so I can vote. Study sessions are more of a non-voting type thing.
Yeah, but we would like his input.
No, I mean September 23rd. How do you guys feel about September 23rd, Monday? I guess
the workshop?
The study session.
Study session, the 23rd?
Yeah, like in the evening?
And that one on the 30th?
Yeah.
Because of John would be.
If I were John, I would rather be here when voting and decisions are occurring. I'm not John, so if you guys know John or anything, you can feel free to. Okay.
September, right?
Yeah. And then that leaves the 7th open for our ratifying the final letter. So I think I want to lock that down too. Until
third of the 21st.
23rd, Monday, all Mondays. Do we have a calendar we could pull up on the TV? That might be helpful. 5? That's okay. Yeah, 5 is good.
Same here.
That's okay. So that gives us like an hour and a half to 2 hours. That's probably about as long as we're going to want to do anyway.
23rd.
Yeah, Monday the 23rd of September, so 2 weeks from today. Yes, 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday the 23rd for the study session. Staff, are you available on that time? You're like half the group, right, and we're not even asking you, so I feel bad about that.
Yes, we are available. I can't speak for the city attorney's office.
We will be available.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate it very much. And then the 30th again, where we will aim to have our final proposal written up, although I do want to leave open the possibility that we'll extend. I mean, we even just recently discussed extending this beyond the December deadline, so I don't think we have to commit ourselves to stopping that day. Oh, something came up? All right. Okay.
I can be here at 5, but by 6:30.
Okay. That's an hour and a half. That's what we're doing today is an hour and a half.
That week I'm a little busy and throwing a party for 150,000 people. It's called To Submit Yourself.
You're in charge of that? Yeah. Wow. Awesome. I will hopefully see you there. A little bit, yeah, okay. Well, that's a public service to all of us. I plan to be there, so thank you for that. I would like to propose 3 consecutive Mondays, the 20th, all from 5 to 6:30 p.m., with the possibility that some people will have to leave at 6:30, but if we're not wrapped up, I at least may need to stick, a quorum may need to stick around a bit past 6:30, but a quorum would be 4 people, so if 3 of us need to leave, that's okay, or rather 2, because John won't be there for 2 of these 3 meetings. Yeah, I think, I'm trying to think what John would say if he were here. Do you guys agree that he would probably want to be here when we make our proposal? Yeah. Okay. And he, yeah, okay. Okay, so what I'd like to propose is 5 to 6:30 p.m., but a couple of us may have to stay till 7 on three consecutive Mondays, September 23rd, September 30th, and October 7th. Does anyone have comments or conflicts or concerns? Vanessa, does that work for you? Okay. I think that's everyone.
So the third date was
the 7th. So you can look at the calendar there. It's a little small, but you can see 23, 30, and 7. So three consecutive Mondays from 5 to 6:30. So I'd like to propose a motion that we meet on September 23rd, September 30th, and October 7th at 5 p.m. And if anyone would like to make that motion. We just need someone to say so moved.
So moved.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Future agenda items. The 23rd will be a study session. The 30th will be making our proposal if we are ready to do so at that time. And the 7th will be signing off on the letter if we are ready to do so at that time. If not, the 7th will just be another meeting for us to continue our work. And we'll go from there. Do we need to decide, like, call to the audience stuff right now, or can we decide that at the time, seeing how many, if there are, can we just see if there's anyone who wants to speak and make a judgment call, or do we need to set that now?
You don't need to include it on the agenda. You can allow someone to speak at any point during your meeting. However, if you want it to be an open call to the audience and advertise it to the public that there will be an opportunity for them to speak, then we do recommend you scheduling an item on the agenda as such.
I mean, I would like to do that. We didn't have anyone speak today, but I guess I was surprised by that because last time there were like tons of people that wanted to speak. So I guess I think I'd like to give, you know, 15 minutes.
Just put it on the agenda.
Okay. So future agenda items, the 23rd, we'll start with call to the audience for around 15 minutes, depending on how many people are there. If there's a ton of people, we're going to have to cut it off and get to our study session. I believe that's everything. Call the meeting to adjournment. Thank you all. Do we need a motion on adjournment?
You do not.
Okay. All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.